God thanks this morning for his goodness and his mercy and his kindness. I want to thank God for Pastor Hastings, Pastor Khalil, the Women's Auxiliary, and the Women's Auxiliary President, and all the ministers. God bless you. I want to thank God for my husband. You know, it's been raining where we are. It started raining on Wednesday night, and it rained all day on Thursday. Thursday I had to speak at a church, and I thought for sure the women wouldn't come, and some of the schools had shut down. They had a tornado, and they came. You know, I told my husband, I said, Jamaicans are only the only people who are afraid of rain. Because the truth is, I was thinking whether or not I was going to go, you know, and they came. And it rained all day Thursday, all night Thursday night, and all day Friday. And Saturday morning, when the rain began to pour Saturday morning, I thought perhaps we couldn't make it. And then the rain came with us, too, because it started raining this morning. But you know what? When we decide to do something for the Lord, rain or shine,
that's right.
We have to do it.
That's right.
And this morning, I am here this morning, not because I don't have anything else to do and not to waste your time, but I believe that God wants to speak to our heart. And when Sister Bennett had approached me, you know, the truth is, I wasn't sure. I thought, you know, I don't know. But I wouldn't, you know, I had disappointed her before. And I heard the voice of God speak to my heart. And so this morning, I said, Lord, we don't want to waste your time, nor the people's time, nor my time. So we need to hear from you.
That's right.
We don't have time to waste anymore.
That's right.
Time is of a shortage, actually. Time is moving on, whether we realize it or not. We don't have time to waste. And the problem is too many people think they have all the time. If you think that, I want to let you know that you don't. I don't and you don't. If you look, you can see that God's hand is on the time clock. And he is coming back. The Women's Minister President told me that the theme for this year is empowerment. And I like that word, empowerment. Because when I hear the word empowerment brings to mind several things. When we talk about empowerment, we talk about enabling, equipping. When you enable somebody, you equip them, you give them what they need to succeed. You give power to them. And in the natural, we would ask ourselves, well, how do we empower people? Companies, organizations, they talk about empowering. We look at the government, and we talk about how the government wants to give handouts. And we say, we don't want handouts, we want to be empowered. Empowered to succeed. Empowered to be self-sufficient. We empower one another in the natural by giving freedom of expression. If we can't express ourselves, then we are not empowered.
True.
We empower people by giving them assistance when they need it.
Yes.
We empower by giving guidance and direction. We empower by giving motivation and encouragement.
Yes.
We empower by giving people freedom to fail.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have the freedom to fail, you are not empowered.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything you do may not necessarily succeed. We give people empowerment when we give them the room to grow.
That's right.
Empowerment is about growth.
Yes.
We give empowerment when we give people the ability to develop their skills.
Yes. Yeah.
When I give you the ability to empower yourself, I give you the ability to outgrow me.
That's right.
If I empower you, I am saying you can get better than I am.
Yes.
I help you so that you can thrive.
That's right.
If I don't give you that ability, I am not empowering you.
That's right.
People who empower others are people who are confident in themselves.
Right.
People who are fearful and insecure will not empower you.
That's right.
Because they will want to keep you under them. That way they can control you. People who empower people are people who are secure.
Yeah.
And that's looking at empowerment in the natural. But what do we talk about, what do we mean when we talk about empowerment in the spiritual?
Yes.
As I was thinking on the term empowerment, I heard the voice of God say to me, empowerment to die.
Mm.
Empowerment to die, not die in the natural, but die to self. If we are going to be empowered, we have to die. We have to die to the flesh. And you know something? We don't hear these messages today. What we hear is, how can we gain? How can we achieve? How can we amass things? And that's all good and well. But that is not what we need. And now more than ever, I am convinced that if we are going to be empowered people, we have to die to the flesh.
Right.
I have to die. I am in the process of dying.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a process that's painful.
Yes, it is.
And it's not popular.
That's right. That's right.
But if you want to go the way of the Lord, if we want to, we have to die.
Right. Right.
And until we begin to get the empowerment to die, we will not grow. We will not be able to energize or uplift people.
Right.
We will not be able to touch people, and we will not do what God tells us to do.
Right.
Empowered people are people who succumb to the hand of God.
Amen. Amen.
Let's turn our Bibles to Luke 22. And by the way, you know, every Easter, and I mean this from my heart, every Easter I think of this church because it was during the services. And for some reason, I remember three people, and I know there were more people there, but somehow I would remember Sister Grant and Sister Pat and Pastor, and we would have a time of lock-in. It was during the day, and I've been wondering, well, what was I doing? I guess I wasn't working at that time, because somehow I was there, but it wasn't, and the people regular would come out at night. But I remember those days of fasting and prayer. Sister Shirley was there sometimes. And it was during those services that I grew.
Mm-hmm.
It was during those times of walking in and hearing from God and getting a prayer and praying with the people that I began to experience God.
Mm-hmm.
Let's turn to Luke. Luke 22, beginning at verse 24. And there arose also a dispute among them as to which one of them was regarded to be the greatest. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors, but not so with you. But let him who is the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as the servant. For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table, or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as the one who serves. You know, I was thinking that all that we have, we can lose.
That's right. That's right.
We can lose our homes, we can lose our jobs, we can lose our health, and we can lose our loved ones at the blink of an eye. And if we're not empowered, if we don't know Christ as the all in all, we will not be able to survive when the things and the storms of life come over us.
Right.
Here, the Passover took place on the eve of the crucifixion. You know, Jesus says to them, he says, one of you is going to betray me. Actually, Christ sent Peter to go and prepare the Passover meal. And he was sitting with them, and he said, you know, one of you is going to betray me. And the disciples are saying, I wonder who it is. They probably were asking, is it you, John? Is it you, Peter? They were going, they all, 12 of them were asking who it was. And listen to this, brethren. Jesus spent 3.5 years with them. He gave and he poured out his life to them. And here he is saying, and he's been saying through Luke, especially beginning chapter 9, he said, I am the Son of Man is going to be taken away.
Yes.
And the truth is, they did not understand.
No,
they didn't get it.
No.
A lot of us don't get it.
That's true.
We don't get it.
That's right.
And you would think that after all this time we would get it. And after 3.5 years, and him saying, one of you is going to betray me. Here they were talking about who is going to be the greatest. You know what the problem is? And it's in a lot of churches, it's everywhere. Position. You know, I'll tell you this. God has been calling me for a long time. For a long, long time. And I have had my own agenda in how I want to run my life. The other day I was driving and I said, God, look at my cousin, my little cousin. Look at the big job. My husband has a degree in nuclear engineering. We want big jobs too. We want to have it all too. And God said, not with you. I have a plan for you. Position is a problem. They were worried about position when Christ was about to die. We come to church and people are dying, and we fight about position. My husband, he left where he was to go to Niceville, not because he wanted to. God allowed him to go. God called him there. It was a period of growth. It was for him and for me. It was a hard time. You talk about getting stepped on. You talk about being ridiculed. And then God said to him, enough. It's time. And I knew it was coming. But you know what? I was afraid. You know why? So if you leave, you leave a nice paycheck. And I remember when my husband gave the news, he said to me, he said, Jen, I want to talk with you. And he said, it's time. I've done what God called me to do, and it's time to move. There are seasons in our lives. We go through seasons. And I look back, and I say to my husband, what if we had kept that position? It would be to our detriment.
That's right.
Because we would be missing out on a lot that God's doing in us. They were asking themselves who was regarded to be the greatest. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them. Lord it over the Gentiles. Caesar and the governors of Rome, they were lording it. Taxes, taxes, and more taxes. Taxes for building aqueducts. Taxes for Caesar's building project. Drafting the young men into the army. And they call themselves benefactors. Who is the benefactor? A benefactor is one who gives something to you. But do you know that even the tyrants regarded themselves and were called benefactors? They weren't benefactors. They were milking the people. And he says the kings of the Gentiles, Caesar and the governors, they lord it over you. And they regard their position. But not so with you. Brethren, we cannot allow position to hinder us from being empowered. If we're going to be empowered, we have to die to the flesh. What does that mean? What does it really mean to die to the flesh? It means that people will abuse and use you. It means that you will have to do things that the flesh won't want to do. It means that sometimes you have to get up and pray. Do you know how long God was telling me I wanted to get up at such and such a time and pray? And you know what? I would do it sometimes and not another. You know what? A man met me in the... I was getting ready to go into the gym. And a man stopped me I've never seen before, and he told me. And I've never seen that man since. When God wants to empower you, it means you have to go the extra mile.
That's right. That's right.
It means we have to forgive.
Yeah.
It means we have to love.
Yeah.
It means we have to lay down our lives. It means we have to agree and know that we will be misunderstood, but it's okay. It means that we will hurt and we will be hurt, but we move on. It means we have to drop the weight. It means that we can't worry about being in the popularity crowd. I don't have time for it. Not when I was here and not now. How many of us lay in our beds at night and our most concern is the growth of the work of God? How many of us will make prayer in the ministry of prayer your most important ministry? You know, God said to me one day, God, Janet, I want you to pray. I want that to be your ministry. The ministry of prayer is not popular because you're praying 90% of the time. You're not praying for yourself. You're praying for other people. When you're getting ready to eat your oatmeal, God will say, put it aside. I want you to fast today. We don't have enough people as prayer warriors in the position at the church. We need prayer warriors in here. I said to Sister Benedict, I said, you know what? I don't like preaching because it's a lot of work. I'd much rather sit and listen. It's easier to sit and listen than critique. Brethren, God wants people that He can empower. He wants people to be in the position as soldiers to say, God, here am I, send me. We need to see where God is working and join Him. He says, let him who is the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as a servant. The youngest child in the Roman household, actually, especially in the poor household, was the one who washed the feet of the guests. If they didn't have, if they couldn't afford a servant, the youngest child would do it. The father was the head of the household. He was the one who would serve. He gives the orders. And he's saying, the greatest of you become as the youngest child who does the dirty work. I lived with my grandmother, and you know what, I remember when it came around where it was my turn to begin to take out the chamber pots. I couldn't wait till my little cousin, it was his turn. I hated that job. But it was a job for the youngest. It was a rite of passage, if you will. And I remembered when my aunt said, it's your turn now, you're big enough. You go from room to room every morning, and she showed me, you empty them and you wash them and you put them out in the sun. Not a nice job. And when Devin was of age, I said, thank you, Jesus. I did it and showed him. You know what, brethren? All of us should be empowered to clean. If somebody is hurting and can't clean their house, to wash the toilet, iron the clothes, cook the food, and don't tell anybody else that you did it. Where God gives you something and says, take it out and give to somebody else. You think it's easy for God to tell you to go take out how much money you have in your account and take it and give it to somebody that you're not even friends with? If you don't have God, you won't do it. And if you're not empowered, you won't do it. He says, so who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? It is not the one who reclines at the table, but I am among you as the one who serves. Christ, Jesus, was the master, is the master. He was the host of this dinner. And if you look at in John 13, you'll see the parallel, because what John does, it shows us that at that very moment, he got up and he began to wash their feet. They were worried about position. And here he was saying, I am going to be the slave among you and do what you need to do. You follow me. I am going to serve you. I am going to wash your feet. You know, we have feet washing in some of the churches. Yes. You think it's about just washing the natural feet?
No.
It's more than that.
That's right. That's right.
What does it mean to wash one another's feet? My God, it means you put one another's interests ahead of yourself.
Yes.
It means that the brother and sister hurts you, you talk about it, you bring it out, and you move on.
Right.
It means that you give without worrying. It means that when God calls you to do something, you do it.
Yes.
It means that you're willing to lay down your life for the gospel, for his work.
Yes.
If we look at people, we won't get empowered.
No.
Because they won't understand. And when God is filling you, they'll criticize you. You know, when we were at the church, you know how much criticism I got? And it was from two, the same two. And they think I didn't have anything to ask because I didn't have children. And because of my color. But you know what? I had to stay there till God moved me. When we're in pride, we stay put because we don't own ourselves.
Right.
And if you have a good job and God says give it up, you give it up.
Right.
You know, I was reading recently, the book is called Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby. And he shares a lot of people, stories about people who give up comfy situations and jobs and things to follow God's call. And he was recounting the life of Hudson Taylor. It was Hudson Taylor and his mother. His mother was elderly. And he heard God's call and he left to go to China. And he knew he would probably never see his mother again. He never saw his mother again. How many mothers would be willing to allow their only child to go far away, knowing you may never see them again? But look what look what God did through him.
Yeah.
It's not what we can do for God, it's what God can do through us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And too many of us want to do for God. God don't need you to do for him.
Amen.
He doesn't need us to do for him.
Yeah.
He wants to work through us.
Yeah.
And if we don't allow him to work through us, what we'll do will not have lasting effect. I am telling you the truth. I did not want to come because I said, you know what, if the weather is not good, and I don't like to sit in the car for long periods. And God said, you go. You're not your own. What is God saying to you? Because I am sure if you're listening, God is saying something to each of us. And if you're not hearing, you need to start hearing. Some of us feel like we've experienced God enough. Like we keep talking about what was. When I was. When we had this and we had that. But what are we doing now? Poor Charlotte is filled with unsaved people. Why aren't they in the church? Jesus took off his towel and he washed their feet.
Yeah.
And I believe that began the process of empowerment, because though they didn't realize what was going on, they saw what he did, and it began the process of for Peter, who soon later denied Jesus, and for the others to learn what it means to serve one another. And Judas left their company, and he went and did what he was actually, I guess, destined to do. And Jesus knew it. He knew what was going to happen. How many of us would know that we were sitting with somebody across from us who is killing us and still serve them with a smile and still fast for them and still love them? Brethren, if we want to see God work among us, we have to be empowered. We have to be willing to die to self. And it's not a popular message, but the reason the church is where it is because we don't have too many people who are standing to die, who are saying, I want to die, who are willing to fall in love with Jesus again. We don't need another program. We don't need another dinner. Because believe me, when we, please don't get me wrong, those things are good. But let me tell you, I see over and over again, if we begin to call on the name of our Lord, every need will be met.
Amen.
Because God is not bankrupt. And you know what? Getting a speaker from out of town to speak a message and leave is not the end, so we need to fall in love with Jesus again.
Yes.
And it really begins with you and God, and your knees are sitting on the chair and saying, God, I want to feel you again.
Yes.
I want you to work through me. When we take the position of prayer and the position of fasting and the position of dying, God will work.
Amen.
I'm not asking you. And you know what? Too many of us are waiting for the big thing to happen. Keep waiting. Nothing is going to happen.
Yeah.
10 years from now, you'll still be waiting because it starts small. There's something called processing. And we don't want to be processed. We want to stand up here and talk about how we can preach. God wants to process you and me.
Amen.
We don't hear about people wanting to suffer for Christ. And actually, it's an honor. Because how can he use us if we're not ready? What are we going to do when somebody is really sick and need deliverance or demon possessed? What do you have to give? You can't give what you don't have. And you can't fool the devil either. He knows when you really have it. You can't fool some people sometimes, but you can't fool all the people all the time. And you can't fake it. You either have it or you don't. And when you have passion for Christ, nobody has to compel you to do the extra mile.
That's right.
Nobody has to compel you to give.
That's right. Amen.
And nobody has to beg you to pray.
Amen.
And if it's three of you, come to church. And if you call choir practice and nobody comes sing. The problem is we don't want to do it in the quiet where nobody sees us. We always want a crowd. That's why we don't have one. You know why we don't have one? Because we're not willing to do the hard thing. When we begin to sacrifice and look in the face of Christ, he will begin to do the impossible. He would bring about a change. He will show you where to go. He'll begin to work on people's hearts, and all you have to do is go and reap the harvest.
That's right. That's right.
We're wasting time because God is not leading. When God is leading, you know exactly what to do, what programs to enact, how to do it, because He will tell you. And you don't have to do if and but and why or why not or here and there. You know exactly how to do it. God wants us to be empowered. He wants to pour out His Spirit on us. Where you go to work and you can touch the person who is working with you. God will show you in the middle of the night what they need. When the devil plans to attack your Christ, break it up.
Hallelujah.
The problem is we don't have enough seers in the house of God. We have a bunch of lazy people fighting. And God is going to chastise us if we waste what He's doing in us. He has invested in us. He's paid a price. I'm at the point in my life that there is nobody I need to impress.
That's right.
Amen. Pastor, nobody.
Amen. Help us, Jesus.
And what you see is what you get.
Yes.
People underestimate me all the time. That's their business. I don't have to prove anything to anybody. The Bible says when you follow Christ, He will let your righteousness shine as the noonday sun.
Amen.
Try to hide the sun. You can't hide the sun. It outshines you every time. You can't hide the glow of the Holy Spirit. And I was saying to Sister Band, I said, you begin to see God. And God will show you exactly how to operate in your ministry.
That's right.
Brethren, if we start to see God, we don't have any trouble.
That's right.
And when there's a need, God can use us to fill it.
That's right.
We want to fill what we think needs to be filled, and you don't know what needs to be filled. We have to be led by the Spirit of God. The flesh doesn't want to die. The flesh doesn't want to serve. In the natural, those people traveling over there wearing sandals, their feet, I mean, ugly and rough. You ever see those farmers' feet in Jamaica?
Mm-hmm.
How many of you want to wash them? I used to wash my papa's feet. He'd give me 10 cents.
Mm-hmm.
He gave me 10 cents every time. And I would wipe his feet at night. And he would always call me.
Mm-hmm.
Of all my cousins, he would call me.
Mm-hmm.
And they were not pretty feet to wipe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What am I saying? In the spiritual, in God's work, they're feet that need to be wiped.
Yeah.
And they're not pretty.
That's right.
Thank
Amen.
You. What are you going to do? Just sit here? We have to move forward. We have to move on. We can't stay where we are and go with Him. God is working all over the world. God is at work. God is doing miracles all over the place.
That's right.
And if He's not doing it in our lives, the answer, the question is, why not? He's not short of miracles. He hasn't stopped working. He's still God. And He's not a God who is afraid to give good things. Why? Why aren't we receiving? Why aren't people hearing what's going on at outreach so they can come and see?
Mm-hmm.
Or any other church?
Mm-hmm.
The problem is we have a routine.
Mm-hmm.
The church of God has too much routine.
Yeah.
There's no room for the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
We come and we sing. Some churches, my husband had to preach at the past 2 weeks at a church. Because the minister was in India doing a mission.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, 3 songs and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Sing one, stop, talk a little more. They have a routine.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us have the Church of God name, but we're stuck in our own routine.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time a sister or brother said, you know, Pastor, God told me we need to call a fasting today? God told me we need to have a week of fasting, recommitment. We don't hear that.
No.
Or sometimes we're afraid to say it because we don't feel like we're going to be empowered to carry it out. Brethren, I sense in my spirit that God wants to empower us.
Yes.
But we have to be willing for Him to do it.
Yes.
I told my husband, I said, you know something? We need to feel God's presence more in our home. Because your house is your mini church.
Yes.
You should be having the Lord's Supper and praying and fasting right here in your house. Because if you do it there, you're already up there. By the time you get in here, it's like fire all over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody has to pump you.
Yeah, yeah.
When was the last time you got in your car and put on your praise CD and weep like a baby at the stop sign just crying?
Yeah.
Crying out to God because the love and mercy and grace of God just flows over your heart.
Yeah, yeah.
When was the last time you're coming home from work and you can't even eat? Because you just feel like crying out to God. You get in your house and you can't cook dinner. That is passion. And if we have any left, we are not ready. We're not ready. We need people who are passionate. People whose hearts yearn after God, who want God. You see the situation, but you look beyond the situation. You see the trouble, but you speak God's peace to the trouble. Demons attack you in your house, and you can see them before they get there. God can tell you to come to the church and pray without anybody even knowing. Remember those days? We need the empowerment of God. And it begins with one person at a time. Because when God's power is present, people quiver. People, the unsaved, they stand at attention.
Mm-hmm.
And they want it, even if the curiosity gets them where they want to come and hear and see.
Yeah,
we have churches that are just going through the routine.
Mm-hmm.
And if our hearts pain us, can you imagine God's heart?
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, where is my bride? Why isn't she decked out?
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't she arrayed the way I had her? Why have you taken off your wedding garments and put on the after dress? You need to be in your wedding gown. Put on the wedding gown. Get yourself made up for Him. He wants to meet you, because until He meets with you, you are not doing what He wants you to do.
Yeah,
And if each of us says, God, I'm going to put on my wedding dress for you, watch what will happen. If each of us takes our eyes off the other and begin to focus on Christ and Christ alone, on Christ alone, what do you think will happen? What do you think will happen when we all come ready to worship the King of Kings? Even if it's 4 or 5, you will feel the presence of God so strong.
Yeah.
When was the last time you talked to somebody and you feel God all over you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Friday I was at home and I knew somebody was praying for me. I could feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at home and I wasn't feeling well on Friday. I was feeling sick. And I found myself beginning to pray in the Spirit. And I was just praying in the Spirit. I mean, and I said, this is strange. And Charles came home in the middle of the day. He stopped at home for a few minutes. And I said, Charles, I don't know, but somebody's praying. I feel it. Well, my aunt called me 11 o'clock at night. She said, oh, my uncle was here. And boy, was he praying for you. And I asked her, I said, you're kidding. What time? And she told me. I said, oh, my goodness. No, he's all the way in Jamaica. What if God begins to use us?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can stand in the gap and begin to connect with one another.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Where if you're sick in the night, you can pick it up.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Where if one of your kids is out of hand, you know it.
That's right. That's right.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah.
We are His eyes. He wants to shine through us.
Mm-hmm.
Brethren, what I got was empowered to die. We have to die to the flesh.
Yeah.
We have to die to our own desires. We have to die to the desire for position. We have to die to the desire of our own, what we see necessary as progress.
Mm-hmm.
What ourselves see as necessary progress.
Mm-hmm.
We have to die to all of it. And let Christ empower us. We have to begin to make prayer our daily meal, our daily bread. We have to begin to hunger for God. We were at a church where the people weren't hungry for God, so they thought I was a nut. Sometimes when I called for a women's meeting, there was one lady who would sometimes wreck it because she would come with her own agenda. God wants us to be empowered to stay the course.
That's right. That's right.
And I mean not stay just making it, but staying it victoriously.
Victoriously.
Where prayer is something that we love to do. Prayer should not be work in the sense that we don't want to meet with God.
Mm-hmm.
But even when you're, I mean, sometimes it's hard for me to get up, trust me.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's nice and warm in the bed.
That's right. That's right.
I remember one morning I said, God, I'm getting up. And when I got up, I felt like all of a sudden my stomach was going to cave. And I said, well, it's going to cave in right here in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to push through.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the only way the battles are going to be won.
That's right.
We have to push through one for another, one with another.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get jealous for God and jealous for His work.
Mm-hmm.
Not jealous after he and she. The problem is we watch what each other has too much, you know. I get something new and people notice it.
Yes. Oh, yes. Amen.
And God is at work and they don't even see it.
They don't see that, my God. So true.
Somebody ran into my car while it was parked, and they loaned me one of theirs while it was in the shop. And I went to work, and one of the ladies couldn't even, she was coming out to see, oh, isn't that a Toyota? You just do something new. Get something new. Listen, let's get the newness and fresh breath of Christ.
That's right.
So they will see it.
Yes.
Because believe it or not, mm-hmm. when we are filled with the power of God, they're either going to love you or hate you.
Yes.
But even if they hate you, they're going to be wanting what you have.
Yes.
And I sense in my heart that God wants us to commit to prayer.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to commit to prayer in unusual ways.
Mm-hmm.
Coming together in self-denial. Coming together in washing one another's feet.
Mm-hmm.
In serving one another. In giving to one another.
Mm-hmm.
In covering one another's shame.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Encouraging one another. He wants us to be empowered to die. And when we are empowered to die, life and newness and fresh breath and greenness and vigor and energy will take its place.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God.